In session now, the Reedy Planning Commission regular meeting, it's 5:10. This Thursday, March 21st, 2019. Commissioner Hudson, would you lead us in Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I sure will.
Ready, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the roll call, please.
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Chair Perez?
Here. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction, which are not already on agenda this evening. It is a policy of the Commission not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the Community Development Director's Office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the Commission as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment? If not, I will close the public comment section of it. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the Commission can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. May I have a motion on number one item on the consent agenda to approve, or your wishes?
I would move that we approve.
May I have a second?
I'll second.
Call for the...
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes. The first item of the administrative business is consideration of the update to the City of Reedy Bicycle Transportation Plan. Through resolution number 2019-5, staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions. A, recommend that the City Council adopt environmental assessment number 2019-3, determining that the City of Reedy Bicycle Transportation Plan is exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15262 of the CEQA guidelines. And B, recommend that the City Council adopt the final draft of the update to City of Reedy Bicycle Transportation Plan. At this time, I'd like to ask staff to...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it. Rob Terry, Community Development Director. The item that we have before us tonight is an update to the City's Bicycle Transportation Plan. This is an item that I'm actually really excited to bring to you because of the positive improvements that I think that the plan update provides, and the background and the project description we'll be able to go into. As always, as I'm going through my presentation, if you have any questions at any time, please feel free to interject. If there's something you'd like a little additional definition on or clarification, just let me know. So first, the city currently has a bicycle transportation plan that was adopted in December of 2010. Since that time, it has not received any type of update. Of course, in the planning world, 8 years, a lot of stuff can happen in 8-9 year time, right? So we knew that it was the appropriate time, not only because the plan itself in that amount of time and just basic planning could definitely use some refresher and a relook at the item to make sure it's still in line with what the community wants, but even more so, a lot of activity that's taking place at the state and at the regional level that has to do with what is now referred to as active transportation, as opposed to just bicycle or walking, pedestrian. All of those items are now lumped under something called active transportation. And a lot of things have happened at the state level and the regional level, and so we wanted to touch on those items. The graphics that you see up there right now are the 2010 adopted plan and a couple pages from it, just to give you a little bit of a look. You can tell while that plan was very well done at that time, certainly dated and in need of some updated mapping, some updated graphics to better communicate. One of the beauties of this item right here was that it did not cost the city a dime in order to do this plan update, because it was fully funded through the Fresno Council of Government's circuit planning program, and the consultant work that was provided for all of this was done by the company VRPA, which Georgina Vivian is the president, CEO, extreme. I mean, and I have to say, I'm amazed every time I'm around her. I don't think the woman ever sleeps for the amount of work that she gets done. VRPA does excellent work, so we're really, really excited to be able to utilize these services, and in particular have VRPA, who has spent a lot of time in Reedley over the years and has great background and knowledge of the community, and so definitely a great local firm to be able to bring in to provide a refresher like this to the plan. So a couple items we wanted to make sure were addressed during this update. First and foremost was to ensure ongoing consistency with our general plan, which was adopted in February of 2014, so 4 years after the bicycle plan itself was adopted. So we wanted to make sure, as we knew that plan, of course, was addressed when you're doing the general plan, you're going to look at the current plans that you have in place. But then over the years, and as we've gone through additional general plan implementation, still wanted to make sure that there was good cohesion between the bicycle plan and the general plan. Next, we wanted to ensure consistency with the Regional Active Transportation Plan, which was adopted by the Fresno Council of Governments in February of last year. As I had briefly mentioned before, the state now really refers to what used to be bike and ped for a long time, bicycle and pedestrian, now as active transportation. And it's much more of an umbrella term that brings in anything that is self-powered. So whether you're walking, even a lot of the ADA items are covered under active transportation as well, wheelchair access, those type of items. So we wanted to make sure that we had good consistency with the regional plan, which again, referenced the 2010 plan, but we still wanted to come back and make sure that everything was updated and fresh with each other. And then lastly, and in all honesty, one of the major drivers for it was to really improve the city's competitiveness for ATP-related grant funding opportunities, both at the regional level and at the statewide level. The city of Reedley has not been successful with any of their ATP grants up to this point, and it's not for lack of trying, and it's also not for a lack of good projects. Many of the problems ended up being that the plans that we had in place weren't current enough and didn't use the type of language that is now commonly used in ATP, so it was just kind of aged. Chairman, yeah.
Is COG responsible for approving some of those grants, or is it a state
there's
agency?
Both? Yeah, there's actually both. So you will have statewide active transportation grant pots, and then you will also have an active transportation program that's at the regional level as well. And that utilizes state and even some federal dollars, but majority of state, I believe, right, Jordina?
Right, so I think if you would apply to the state first, if you're denied, then
you go to the region.
Go directly to Fresno
FOG. Yep.
With the same grant?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of good things that the state and the regions have done over the last few years with the ATP-related items. A lot of flexibility in really providing agencies with some much-needed dollars to address a lot of their active transportation corridors. For us here, of course, it would be, a lot of concentration on the parkway, which is very well utilized. We're going to talk about some of the items that were even refreshed and updated for that as well. So no reason for Reedley to not have been successful in that grant area, other than the fact that we just needed to update some of our items and start using the language that the state is more used to seeing, that didn't sound as aged, right? Communicate in their language exactly what we were trying to communicate that was just not getting across up to that point. So it's very important to note that the overall technical details of the plan remain unchanged. So the vast majority of the items are exactly the same as what you saw before. The wording may have been updated to be more current, more relevant now with active transportation terminology, as opposed to previous terminology that it had. And we also wanted to make sure that we were updating the graphics, the maps, those items, so they look current, they're vibrant, they're easy to read for the public. All the maps in the 2010 version were done on AutoCAD, which is an incredible program for drafting and does a lot of great things. Projection of maps is not one of its strong suits. So utilizing GIS to then update those maps, they're much easier to read, they make much more sense, they're much more user-friendly for the public and for elected officials and staff even to really make sure that they understand exactly what's trying to be communicated in the map form. So highlight, first and foremost, you'll notice that we're changing the name of it, and that is, again, to go right at the heart of the active transportation. So it's now being called the City of Reedley Bicycle and Pedestrian Mobility Plan, and that's because we want to make sure that all those modes of active transportation are being highlighted right there in the document. Whereas before, where it was just a bicycle plan, you know, you can have a standalone bicycle plan, but that's much more specific. Since we were bringing additional items, and we wanted to make sure that it showed that. And the Fresno County Regional Active Transportation Plan, which many times you'll just hear people refer to as the ATP plan or Fresno COG ATP plan. We pulled in all of the details relevant to that, that obviously since that was adopted in February of 2018, those were not present in the 2010 plan. So we were pulling those items in as well. And there was a lot of great content that went into that plan, and we're going to talk about why that's relevant to us. But I want to make sure that it is understood that when you have the Fresno Council of Governments, the City of Reedley, as all local agencies are in Fresno County, they are a member of the Fresno Council of Governments. So the Fresno COG Policy Board that did vote to adopt the regional plan does have a Reedley representative on it, an elected official from the City of Reedley. So all of the items that went through the Fresno Council of Governments process did have Reedley actively engaged, not only at staff level as they were going through their process, but also at the elected level as they're going through the actual adoption as well. So this is what the Fresno County Regional Active Transportation Plan looks like. On the left side, you have the cover. Right there, Chapter 15 is specific to Reedley. So you have an overall plan and then various chapters that go through each one of the cities. So the second page in from left there is where that section starts. It can be tough to see on the screen here, but you can likely tell in the third one over right there, the map itself, even not projecting well on a screen like this, is easier to begin to understand than the AutoCAD map that was previously provided. And this is just one of the maps, so there's obviously a very good number of maps that are in there. Then all the way to the right on that one, that is actually a picture of a paper map that was utilized during public outreach. And the picture right above that one is a community meeting right here in the City of Reedley where community members came in and had opportunities to give Fresno COG and City of Reedley staff feedback on the items about pedestrian and bicycle movement that they wanted to see within the city. And so that map right there is actually a picture where you can, if you take a close look at it, you can see it's hand-drawn on because citizens had the opportunity to actually make comments on a map. Those items were then rolled into the final deliverables for the Fresno County Regional Plan and incorporated in appropriately. Okay. So the main items that we really did within the plan here, first and foremost, we updated the mapping and the graphics throughout the entire document, and that was really to make sure that they're going to present better, provide a much clearer picture. Most importantly, you want your community in a visual format to be able to understand items. Many times text of documents get a lot of attention, as they should. They're very important, but 9 times out of 10, that might not make sense to a community member. But a map, something visual, that can be very, very clear. Somebody can understand a lot better in a visual format what you're trying to communicate with them. So mapping is extremely important. VRP does a great job with that. Also, some of the data gaps were filled for bicycle and pedestrian counts on key corridors. There was a couple spots in the Reedley Parkway where we didn't have good current numbers as far as how many pedestrians are using that every single day during certain peak hours, how many bicyclists are on that. So we actually had people out there, VRPA provided people to go out and do hard counts. So people actually counting as they're going. And some of those areas, it validated what we thought we already knew about it. And then some of them, it actually provided some additional input where we thought, wow, that's more utilized than we realized. Or sometimes that doesn't get as much traffic as we thought it did. Helps us be able to shift our focus and the areas that we know that we need to concentrate on. Also, another large item was all the notation of the public outreach and the inputs that were associated with the regional ATP plan were incorporated into our local plan. Obviously, that's extremely important. If you're going to have a local plan, it needs to have the local input provided into it. So we wanted to make sure that all of those efforts that happened right here in the City of Reedley were actually captured and are brought into our plan as well, highlighted into the local plan as well. So this is what the plan looks like now, just a couple quick pictures from it. The cover there on the left side. All throughout the document, you have enhanced graphics, pictures that were taken recently. So they're not stock photos. They're not photos that are 10 years old. They're photos that were taken very recently. And one of the great things about the plan is you can see as you go through all of those photos, all of our active transportation corridors are very well utilized for a community our size. So that's an excellent thing. On the third one in from the right there, the updates to the cross sections showing what exactly a class one facility, a class two facility is, those graphics communicate much better what exactly that means and why it means that. So that's why I wanted to show that one. And then as you can see the maps, and as you go through the document itself, there's maps that discuss everything from usage to incidents where you may have had, an automobile pedestrian or automobile bicyclist collision. So areas where we know to concentrate on for safety and any type of concern in that nature. For the environmental review, environmental assessment 2019-3 was conducted. It determined that the plan update was statutorily exempt from CEQA, and that's under section 15262 because this is a feasibility and a planning study. This study doesn't do anything to actually fund or even approve projects. It identifies projects, and then as those projects go through the approval and any funding process, they of course go through their own environmental analysis at that time as items are moving toward being built. So that's an important item to point out there, but that's the reason why you have an exemption from CEQA. We talked about this back in May of 2018. We were kicking off this item. We talked to the commission about what we were going to do to update this plan, the fact that we would be working with Fresno Cog and VRPA as the consultant, gave you guys the brief overview of everything that we anticipated and the timeline in which we thought it was going to be completed. At that time, Planning Commission did not have any formal action to take. We had told you that when the plan was ready for your consideration, we would bring it back for your consideration, which is exactly what we're doing tonight. And also to point out just one more time, no negative financial impact to the city because this is fully funded through Fresno COG's Circuit Planner program. So the city does not pay anything to have this completed for us. That said, through Resolution 2019-5, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission takes the following actions. A, to recommend that the City Council adopt Environmental Assessment Number 2019-3, determining that the City of Reedley Bicycle Transportation Plan is exempt from CEQA, pursuant to Section 15262 of the CEQA Guidelines. And item B, to recommend that the City Council adopt the final draft of the update to the City of Reedley Bicycle Transportation Plan as presented to you tonight. So that concludes staff's presentation. We do have Georgina here as the consultant, so if you have any specific questions about any of the technical aspects of the document, she's ready and willing to address those items, and staff is also here to provide any support as needed as well. Mr. Chair.
Commissioners, questions for staff or, I'm sorry, what was your last name?
Georgina Vivian.
Okay, we're good. I was too busy eating to pay attention.
See, we shouldn't have gotten such good food. We knew that would be wrong.
So just a question. So this document was just updated with terminology, graphics, things, and it doesn't plan out or doesn't give a plan out what the improvements are going to happen or what we recommend.
So the recommendations and the improvements that are identified, the future networks,
right.
There was no change from the 2010 plan that came into that one. And the timing of that was very interesting. You had the 2010 plan that came into place. That, of course, then played a big role in the general plan update in the 2014 adoption. So all of the planning, even though it was called just a bicycle transportation one, it really had bicycle and pedestrian within it. It just, the title was fairly misleading. So all of those items were then taken and rolled into the 2014 general plan update, and we have been slowly implementing those items. But the plan itself just looked very dated and lacked some of that good terminology. So there is additional content, of course, that went into the plan, but that's because we brought in the regional discussion and all of those items that had taken place over the last few years. But as far as the projects themselves, the future planned corridors, there was no changes that happened to that system.
This will allow the city to apply for things that you talked about earlier, right?
Yeah, because it provides greater support for that. Yeah, okay. A current plan. Whereas before we could say identified in our 2010 bicycle plan, that was just really aged.
Okay.
And many times for agencies that are looking to grant you funds,
right.
They want to see more skin in the game. They want to see more of a current commitment, right?
Okay.
What are you doing right now? So to be able to have something that is updated within the last, I would say 1 to 3 years is really that time frame, is really important for those granting agencies. Okay. But it made no changes to the technical data and to those really important items, in particular the public outreach feedback that was received through the 2010 process and even through the regional process. It utilized all of that.
Thank you.
Hmm? Any other questions, commissioners?
I have one. Is it in our vision for the future? Do we have in mind something that we want to generate or apply for a grant of any type for anything specific towards this plan and our scope?
I wouldn't say toward the plan directly, but there are certainly projects identified in the plan that were also identified in the 2010 plan, mm-hmm. But that still remain in this plan right here that we will utilize to then move these projects into what's called programming. And that's when you start securing funding for those items. So this absolutely plays a role in identifying what the desired projects are. Mm-hmm. So you can then say, okay, formally now we want to move forward with these projects and doing that. A great example, actually, and something that recently came before the Planning Commission would be the pathway along the Buttonwillow Duff subdivision that was recently talked about. And we actually had a member of the public come in and say to us, there's an item right here that we don't think is shown. Now, while that was all off-site to that project, mm-hmm. that was a great public comment, and we went back and had discussions about that and were able to work with that developer to add that in as an off-site improvement to their project, in particular because it's identified in our plans. Yeah, so it's working exactly the way that it should.
Awesome. Any other questions, commissioners?
Well, on page 35, number G, where it says traffic signals, every person operating a bicycle should stop at all arterial highways and traffic signals. I don't know why our government in Sacramento wanted to take that out to where bicycles don't have to abide by stop signs, stop lights, anything nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I like to see that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are going to be a lot of people hurt because, you know, as I drive through Reedley, I see bicyclists blowing through stop signs and that, and it's like, you idiot.
Yeah.
You're going to get killed.
It needs to be a sense of safety for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
To our expert, this plan, does it mirror or come close to something out there in the state of California that you like or that it looks like?
Yes, when Fresno College prepared the regional active transportation plan, it was prepared to address all of the requirements that are in the bicycle plan guidelines or the ATP guidelines. There are active transportation plan guidelines that were prepared by the Office of Planning and Research for the state of California. And that regional plan addresses all of those requirements. So when we prepared this update for you, we made sure that all of that information for the city of Reedley came into your plan so that it also addresses those active transportation plan guidelines. So your plan is now in complete compliance with both the state requirements as well as, of course, consistency with your general plan.
Will it look unique or different or like some other communities?
Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say similar, but in a good way.
No, I mean that in a good
yes,
way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it looks similar in the ways that you want it to look mm-hmm. similar. But it also has the uniqueness of Reedley put into it. I mean, the fact is that Reedley has a little more infrastructure in
yes.
place than many rural communities of our size.
And okay. I would agree.
Yeah. And I think that can continue to be a selling point because, again, that does show your community is vested in this type of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And granting agencies, they love to see that mm-hmm. because that means that's an agency that implements projects, right? The last thing they want to see is granting dollars to an agency that can't deliver a project. And Reedley has proven that we deliver.
Now, this refers, the term now that is used is active what is the term?
Active transportation.
Active transportation. Yeah. That's walking, bicycle, and now kids have different, even
believe it
Pete
or not,
has different vehicles he rides on.
Scooter, skateboard.
Does that count all of those?
Wheelchair. Okay. I mean, anything that is, I think the best definition I really ever heard from it, anything that is self-powered or self-propelled.
Right.
I heard someone at the state make that comment one time, and I thought, yeah, that probably encompasses the majority of it. I think the state has a true definition for it. I didn't look it up because it would be in governmentese.
I believe it's in the plan. I would have to find the page.
Yeah.
Okay. In putting a plan like this together, what is the most challenging or problematic components of it that you really have to pay a lot of attention to in a plan like this?
You know, I think for an update of this nature, it's making sure that the items that were in place in that 2010 plan are still going to be reflected appropriately. Mm. Otherwise, you really want to make sure that you're into a situation mm-hmm. where you're doing a whole new plan. And if that's the case, there's a very different set of criteria that you want to go to. So that was something that we were mindful of from day one.
All right.
To make sure that this was a true update process. And truly memorializing the items that were in there. And at almost every meeting that we had as we were going through it, if there was a feeling of concern that this is becoming something different than it may have been, then we would have absolutely said, okay, we need to approach this from a different angle. So that was something we were very mindful of throughout the entire process. And I feel that we were successful in.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioners, any other questions? Are we good? Okay, this being a public session, I will open it up to the public for public comment. Having none, I will close the public comment. And back to the commissioners for your consideration. Consideration of the update to the City of Greeley Bicycle Transportation Plan through Resolution 2019-5. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions for A and B, and we'll use 2019-5 to do so. May I hear some of your wishes? A motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
That didn't hurt. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Wonderful working with your staff.
They make it easy for us. You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Made it easy for us. Thank you so much.
They did all the hard work. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Georgina. Drive safe. I agree. Hopefully you're going to miss any type of storm getting home.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, grab some for the road, Miss Vivian.
It was great, though.
Good. All right. So we're going to move on to the workshop portion of it. Who may I call for that?
That's going to be me. I'm sorry. You guys are going to have to put up with my voice again.
Okay. Oh, we were hoping for you.
My apologies.
We're going to have, for the public, we're going to have an economic development workshop that Mr. Rob Terry will lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As any workshop item, we want this to be very open, to have complete open discussion as we're going on through here. Did anybody have an opportunity to attend the town hall meeting where we talked about economic development?
No.
Okay. You will note that I have utilized much of the slides from that presentation. The reason why is because the message is consistent. It is the same. And I actually loved the title. It was our city manager that came up with the title for that town hall because we get asked at least 3 times a month, why don't we have a target yet?
I get asked every time I go home.
How many people that showed up were actually thinking we were going to get a target or we're going to talk about the target?
Believe it or not, I don't think we had any at that meeting.
All right.
Yeah.
That's good.
So hopefully that means that we advertised good enough what exactly we were going to talk about. Yeah, and they showed up. We're getting Target. This is awesome. Yeah.
I did see it on Facebook, though. I did follow someone who was recording it or something like
that. Yeah, yeah. So. You know, and that's been an interesting item. At those town halls, we're seeing a lot more of the Facebook Live type of stuff, which, you know, some people might be afraid of. And we're like, no, this is great. Whatever avenue is going to help members of the public be more engaged and more knowledgeable about what we're talking about. And hopefully make us feel more accessible, right? I mean, that's what it should be. We're here as the public servants, so Anyways, with all that said, the title of this one here, Why Don't We Have a Target Yet? We're going to talk about some economic development facts and myths within the city of Reedley. Again, as I said before, at any time, this is workshop, very informal. Jump in, members of the public as well. If you have any questions, comments, feel free to jump in and ask those at any time. So we're going to go over the five myths right here that are, in my opinion, the most prevalent or the ones that we hear about the most often. We're going to talk about each one of those. Myth number one, that economic development is the city's job, right? That's all the city does is economic development. We're going to talk about the myths and misconceptions and the truths that go behind all these items. Myth number two, the companies come to communities just because you ask them to, right? So, hey, we'd love to have a Wendy's. And Wendy's goes, oh, great. We'd love to be there. We're going to talk about what it actually takes. Myth number three, that all retail and commercial uses result in the same amount of taxation for a community. This is an item that many, many times I don't think that people really stop to think about. There's a lot of different uses, and there's a lot of different outcomes from those uses. And that can range anywhere from heavy industrial users that many times people might not actually see, all the way to your fast food stuff that might be very, very visible. But how many burgers do you actually have to flip in order to bring in a certain amount of taxation or revenue to the community? Myth number four, that economic development is completely driven by the free market. Again, not always the case. Free market plays a big role there. We're going to talk about that. And then myth number five, that no new businesses are coming or have recently come to the city of Reedley, right? That's very common that we hear. Nothing new is ever coming here. We're going to talk about how that's not exactly the case and how there are many items that have come in that just aren't as visible, and even some that are actively coming in or on the docket to come in right now that both will and will not be visible. So we'll touch on those just a bit. Okay, so first to just get at what the whole pie really takes. Economic development is a term that gets thrown around all the time. What exactly does it mean? It, to me, really means all of the activities that take place in a community that provide for the services and for the improvement and betterment of the quality of life for your residents, right? So it takes developers, property owners, businesses of all shapes and sizes, investors, lenders, professional staff, obviously the city. It takes their support organizations like the Chamber, the Downtown Association, all of these things, all working together in a cohesive manner, aware of each other and supporting each other in order for those services to then be provided to the citizens of Reedley. So myth number one, economic development is just one person's job, right? As you can see, it's going through the screen here. It's going through all the key players, and this is just a sampling of the key players that are typically engaged in what it takes to really have good, solid economic development taking place. Obviously, the developers, the guys that are pounding the buildings together, right? The things that are actually bringing form to the items. The property owners. Major, major challenge that we actually have in the city of Reedley is that we have some of our most strategic locations that are commercially designated are owned by a very small group of property owners, many of whom do not have a desire to develop or to sell their land or to be engaged in development. So that can be very, very challenging. Business owners, of course. A business owner is only going to come to a place where they believe that items are going to pencil out for them, right? If they can be able to make ends meet within their business, make a profit, turn a profit, which is the reason why they would be in business. Supportive industries. If all of a sudden, ag-related type of items, are they going to do well here? Of course they are, because you've got great agricultural technology and support services for them. If someone wanted to come in and say, hey, we're going to do, deep space exploration, and we're going to do that right out of Reedley, would that be a fit? There might not be the type of supports that they would need for that, right? Many times that's an item that's overlooked by people. Then, of course, you have your lenders, your investors, your banking, your finance institutions. The vast majority of people that are looking to be engaged in business need financial capital to get started. They don't have the capital of their own up front just yet. So the lenders, the investors, the banking, and all the finance side of it, they play a major part in whether or not a business is really able to tee off or not.
And in most cases, those are... In our case, a lot of them are out-of-town people.
Yes, it's very, very common, especially depending on the scale of the development that you're going for. Smaller developments, many times you can use local services. but often you have to go with major national and often even international type of brands. Of course, you have your architects, your engineers, your contractors, your attorneys. These are all the people that are dealing with the logistics, right? Actually drawing the buildings, people that are drafting up the legalese and the documents, the contractors putting the items together, the engineers making sure that the things designed are going to be safe and that they meet code. Then you have the city policy and the permitting support. That would be your planning staff, your building staff, the things that Ellen and I do. Key for us in everything that we do is customer service. We want to put customer service very first and foremost, always, always with the understanding that we've been given very direct policies and regulations by our elected officials. So we're always going to do everything we do. We're going to take it through that appropriate process as we've been directed. But we want that other person, the person on the other side of the counter, to feel as though they are an absolute priority, because they are. They're a priority to the community. Then you also have your support organizations like your local Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Development Corporation. We have an excellent partnership with the local chamber. A lot of really good energy coming out of there now with the newer executive director in Eric Valencia, and with the Economic Development Corporation. I'm going to touch on an item that we just completed here near the tail end of last year, and an additional activity that we're going to be picking up with the city, the chamber, and the EDC all together. I'm going to touch on that a little bit in just a minute. And then, of course, your customers, right? Economic development, you could have everything in place. You could have a beautiful building, the perfect location, amazing stock. You could have all of these items in place, and if you don't have customers, it's not going to last very long, right? So,
there's one thing, under the property owners?
Yes.
I also know that there are property owners in here in Reedley that want an exorbitant price for what they have.
That's very true. You will hear the comment made at times that person believes there's gold under their land, right? And that's kind of the overall term for someone who believes that their land is worth more than it actually is within the market or what it would realistically appraise for. And unfortunately, those are the two most common things that we bump up against, the people that are either not interested in parting ways with their land, or the people that want a price for their land that is not supportable. I mean, it's not realistic.
Because there was a business that's, they're here in Reedley and they're expanding, and they wanted to buy 7.99 acres out by the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and the two property owners said, well, we want $1 million for that, and if we don't, you're not willing to pay it, we're not.
Yeah, we're not interested in selling.
Right.
Yep.
But then they also found out that the cemetery has eminent domain and can take it. Fair market value. So.
That price might become much more realistic.
Let's talk.
Yes. Yes. In all honesty, one of the largest stumbling blocks that we have in the community is really just securing the land. I mean, that's a huge, huge challenge.
I want to pontificate a little bit, like Bill was doing, and see what your reaction is.
Okay.
Because a few years ago, I realized that, you know, in dealing what I was doing in buying and selling property with the school district and then with Emmanuel. There are property owners here that are wonderful people who want that one big sale. They're going to wait because they don't have to sell.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably free and clear. They're going to get their price, they think, and so they're going to wait. Whereas in maybe a large or a different type of city or a larger city, you have more of a developer type of mentality where let's buy and sell. That's what they do in life. They buy and sell, and they buy and sell.
Mm-hmm.
It appears here that we have several that just want to wait for that one big sale so they can pass it along to their heirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that presents a problem for the targets or anybody else that makes a phone call and says thank you and then hangs up.
Yep.
Am I right?
Yes, that's very accurate. There's also, in addition to that, the market has really changed as far as the way that, the business model, I should say, has changed. For the longest time, businesses wanted to come in and they wanted to lease buildings where they were because they didn't want the long-term investment challenge that can come along with owning. And about 7 or 8 years ago, that started to shift when some of your major corporations were saying, we're not going to do anything unless we own the facility.
Mm.
And what that ended up doing was complicating that problem with the sales even more, because you could work with certain property owners who were hesitant to sell because it was letting go of that piece of property. You could work with a lot of them to say you're not going to relinquish ownership of that. We'll have you work with a developer. You will still be the owner, and then people will lease the space from you. So there was at least still some of that, okay, I still have some of that ownership. I still have some of that stake in it. Then when it turned into, no, these companies want to come in and they want to buy it, that a lot of that conversation went away, further complicated by the cost that many of the property owners are looking to get, which in all honesty, I mean, everybody has the right to say if you own that property, this is, you know, the USA was built on being able to have private property ownership rights. That's something that we're always very sensitive to and very supportive of. But at the same time, you have some key locations where it would be so much better for the entire community if you had a property owner that was a little more understanding of that and willing to look for some improvement for the betterment of the community. So it is a consistent challenge that we have. I will have to say, though, that it does appear to me that is generational, and it seems that some of the younger generations, because they've only seen it one way now, it's more important to have access to services and those type of items than it was to some of the previous generations who had a different mindset. And I can tell you, I know with my father, he kept everything. And that was because he was raised by parents that had gone through the Great Depression. And you took care of everything that you had, no matter how small it seemed in that moment, you took care of it. And so my dad was raised that way and was very much the same, right? And so maybe that's the reason why I understand it a little bit more. It's over time, I think, will change, but it takes time. And that also doesn't mean that we don't continue to communicate with those current property owners. We constantly try to communicate with them and make sure that we're talking to them about opportunities and challenges. And we have seen some movement on some of them, but some of the key locations we continue to just not see it. So, and I wouldn't want to point to any of them specifically because I think that would be unprofessional to do, but I'm sure we'll have a good idea of the basic locations.
I understand why they do.
Sure, yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've lost some great opportunities because of that.
Yep, we have. Thankfully, there's some good ones that have been coming up, though, and some property owners that have been interested in moving in the last few years. Items like the United Health Center, the corner of Manning and Buttonwillow, and Menomee family there that was
yes.
One of those for a long time was one of those that had not been as interested in moving. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing it change. And I think over time it will almost certainly completely change. But right now it's still a big challenge for us. Any other questions before we go on to the next slide? Okay. I'm going to burn through these really quick because myth one, we're going to talk about all the various different things. So as I go through just the basic roles for each one, this is just a refresher so that everybody feels comfortable knowing what those roles are. So if I'm going too quickly, let me know and we can spend a little more time on them. So you have your development community. That's both your private and your corporate developers. So you'll have your local people, also your large national and sometimes even international firms. They're typically the ones that are really going to take the lead on the project. The developer is most often first money in, first money out, which is the reason why they will take the lead on this item, because time equals dollars on the development side. A key point to understand there is they're going to come in and they're going to determine what meets the criteria of whoever it is that they're working with, right? And they're going to do that typically pretty quiet without really making a big splash or impact on anybody because they don't want a lot of input. So they're going to go in and they're going to see, is this meeting our criteria? If it is, they'll push the ball down the court a little bit more. If it isn't, they'll be gone many times before you even knew that they were here looking, right? And obviously the whole point for them there is to gauge the market demand. Your property owners, this is where it all comes down to location, location, location. Your property ownership, that is obviously a vested American right, but the most important thing to have with your property owners is they've got to be willing and available to actually move property into the development realm so that we can start seeing additional services in the community. The supportive industries, of course, you have your suppliers. You got to make sure that things are accessible and available. You got to have a great workforce, right? Companies are only going to be interested to come into communities where they can have employees that are ready, willing, capable, trainable. Reedley has some great opportunities here in that regard that many of the other communities around us do not have. With Reedley College, Kings County Unified is an incredible prep. Obviously, we have Emmanuel that does an incredible job. I mean, so a lot of really good things to make sure that we're having that available workforce there. You have your lenders, your investors, all the banking. That really comes down to the fact that is there dollars behind it, right? Is it going to pencil out, and is it going to pencil out in a way where we're going to make money back, right? Lenders are not going to put money out there unless they're going to be able to make that money back plus whatever interest they deem appropriate. Your architects, your engineers, contractors, and your attorneys, these are the ones that work day in, day out with the actual, typically the business owner or the developer. These are the guys that are down into the weeds every single day. These are the ones that are designing every single placement of that 2x4. Exactly how thick that concrete is going to be. How wide does the ingress, egress need to be? I mean, these are the ones that get into all of the details. They are also the ones that are going to work directly with the local agency, with city staff or county staff, regional staff, depending on what type of permits they might need. They're the ones that are going to work directly with us to go through all of the policy and regulation requirements in order to get something in place. You then, of course, have your city policy and your permitting process. That's what Ellen and I oversee here. So we have to make sure that we have policies and permitting processes that are business friendly and they're supportive of business, but at the same time also hold everybody to that standard that your elected officials have told you that they want you to maintain through the adoption of the municipal code. Then you have your local chamber of commerce, your economic development corporation. These are the people that actually work directly with the businesses on their side to make sure that they have the type of supports that they need. They will typically deal with recruiting. They will be lining up many of the prospective business owners with services, whether that be training, availability to financing the companies that can do that. They'll be working with that business owner and oftentimes even the city to make sure that, hey, we have this person interested right here. Can you make sure that they're getting their business license, they understand what zoning is, their permitting, all of those items. So very, very, very important. And like I said, of course, the customers, because if you don't have customers, then all of this is a moot point. So one of the items that I wanted to quickly highlight is the 2018 Reedley Business Survey. So this was done in conjunction with the Economic Development Corporation of Fresno County, the Greater Reedley Chamber of Commerce, and with support from the City of Reedley. This survey was geared directly at businesses. So it went to just businesses within the City of Reedley. And I know those can be hard to read. I'll just go over them very, very quickly because it's just some of the highlights there. Overall, though, we found that there's a very positive opinion about Reedley as a business location, right? So obviously that's what you want to hear. We got some negative feedback too, which is great because we know some things to concentrate on. But overall, things in the business community they felt were very positive toward operating a business here. So as you can see, 83% said that they were either satisfied or very satisfied with Reedley safety services. That's a big thing for us, right? We have a public safety sales tax. If we have 83% of our respondents that are saying that they're extremely happy with the services that are being provided, that means that your concentrated efforts are working. They're being placed in the right manner and in the right direction. 81% saw positive ratings for the Chamber of Commerce, obviously important as a support service. 74% positive ratings for Reedley's quality of life. And you just continue to go down and down and down. The one that I love to see was 95% of them direct customers to other local businesses, right? That's business supporting business, local to local, obviously a very, very important thing. Then near the bottom, we even found out, 46% want to see a movie theater in Reedley. I'm one of those 46%, right? I'll bet you guys probably are too. Again, that gives us we thought that was already an area that we need to be looking for. But now when we are actively recruiting for businesses and we're trying, we can know that needs to be a focus for us. We heard similar about hotel services, right? Same exact type of thing. And 42% said that they would undergo building or facade improvements if funding were available. For a long time, Reedley actually had something called the Facade Improvement Program that went through the Redevelopment Agency. When redevelopment agencies went away, that program, of course, went away with it. But if you have 42% of your businesses saying that if there was some funding mechanism that they would actually take advantage of to improve the aesthetics of their building, they would do it. As staff, you can start knowing, okay, maybe we need to start looking at another creative way to come up with a program like this again outside of the redevelopment agency, right? So these are good things. Again, this all went to business, and was available for about 6 weeks' time. They got a really good sample back, and this was the number that we got from it.
Where do movie theaters kind of stack up in the tax revenue arena?
They're a little bit closer to the bottom, similar to a fast food, a touch more. But the interesting thing about them is obviously they're a magnet for social activity. So if you have the supportive services around it, that's when your food service industry sees a bump in sales. Mm-hmm. Typically your bars or your social gathering areas will also see a bump. You'll typically see more
shopping.
Shop because people, in between their movie or they get there a few minutes early. And so the variety store stuff, you'll see bumps in those as well. So they work as a very good magnet. Some of the issues that were identified that were either new, hadn't really been on the radar for us, or were confirmed were that residential development, so only 28%, said that they were either unsatisfied or very unsatisfied with the amount of residential development that had taken place in the last several years within the city. Thank goodness that's an item where we can say, over the last couple of years, we've had a lot more projects approved and that are trending toward building, some of them even under construction right now. So that's a good thing. We know that we're getting there. Parking was a huge issue, particularly in the downtown area. 53% of the respondents said that was a challenge. Building condition, 44% of them stated that that was a negative impact on their business. That ties directly back to the facade improvement, right? So supportive of those items. Road, sidewalk condition, 43% noted challenges with this item, right? Your active transportation infrastructure being addressed. And then 42% said that they have to deal with vandalism and graffiti. So during the director's update item, I'm going to touch on an item even that gets right to the vandalism and graffiti and something the city's getting ready to do that's going to make an impact there. We believe, or we hope, that's certainly the intent. Some of the respondent comments that I wanted to point out. This was probably my favorite out of the whole one. Someone just said, "We love Reedley. Yes, there's room for improvement, and sometimes our businesses can be slow, but it is such a great town with so much potential." I think that statement really, really encompasses the business community in Reedley very, very well. This one was really big for us to say, okay, we need to improve our ability to communicate with people in the Spanish-speaking community and work closer with the chamber to make sure they feel like they're getting support. When someone said, there's just not enough support or resources for the Spanish-speaking business owner in town, right? So, okay, terrific. That was something that we know that we can concentrate on. And then they talked about the social media updates at the city level, wanting to see some of those a little bit more, and the fact that they were actually happy with a lot of those updates at the chamber level that have been taking place more than they had been in the past. So that was good. And I think, Albert, like you said, with the Facebook, during the town hall meetings, right, and the Facebook Live and the things that we're seeing, you're seeing more engagement with that, which is obviously a good thing. Okay, on to myth number two, that companies place their operations in communities by chance. There is nothing that could be further from the truth than someone just saying, you know what, let's just try to plop right down over here and see how it goes. There is a significant amount of background research that goes into any company before they come in particular the companies that are franchised or large national brands. They have a formula to a T, and they will go right into your community, and if it doesn't fit within that box, in their mind, there's thousands of others that might, and so they simply just go on to the next
one. Like what happened with Chipotle's.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. Yep. So there was a certain metric that the city didn't meet.
Yep.
And so they just simply say, yep, that's it. So, and I got a couple examples we're going to talk about there. And actually, one of them is going to say, why don't we have a target? We can show you exactly why we don't have a target just yet. So one of the biggest things, of course, that they're going to look at is their trade area demographics. The number one item is they're going to want to know how many people live within this certain geographic area surrounding that potential site. So they're literally going to take point on the map where they're considering going. They're going to draw a circle around it, depending on the company. Sometimes it's a 1 mile, sometimes it's a 3 mile, 5 mile, 10 mile, depends on the type of service they're providing, and then how many people live within that area. And if you don't hit a certain population or demographic number that is in their formula, next, they simply go to the next one. They're also going to make sure that their average daily traffic, the amount of cars and people that are passing right by that location, matches what they want to see. They're going to check the median income of the geographic area to make sure that people have the dollars to spend there, the economic activity is going to pay back for them. Obviously, they're going to look at the competitors. They're also going to look at the support services that are there. Companies that are providing any type of service always have to have supportive services for them. Fast food restaurants, is it going to be access to be, for the trucks to be able to get there with their food prep items in the appropriate amount of time? Even their, you know, take-home items, are they, do they have access to all of that? Can everything get there? And then, of course, the availability of trained and skilled workforce in the area. They're going to take a look at that one as well. So here we go. Here's our first example, Target, right? This is Target. Now, again, they have, if you look at their location criteria, it's actually about 55 double-sided pages long. So we just took out some of the highlights here, and the quickest ones to point to say, this is why Reedley doesn't have a Target just yet. So for their trade area, which is a 2 to 3 mile radius that they'll draw around their site, you have to have a minimum population of 125,000 people, right? Now, does that mean that every single time they draw that out, if you don't hit 125,000, they're not coming? No, because you will see instances where that isn't the case, but there is always some type of very unique outlier that makes up for that difference in some manner. But that's going to be the very first thing that they're going to look at. Also, their location criteria. This is a big challenge for Reedley within the annexed area. Minimum of a 10-acre site, and that placement has to be for 125,000 square foot building, and it must be part of a retail center. So they do not build something alone. If you start thinking of every Target that you've ever visited or you've driven past, it's never alone. It'll always be a Target and then something, even if it's just a small fast food restaurant or something else, is either right within that same parking lot or adjacent right next to it that could be considered a retail center. So believe it or not, that's where we get. So if we take a look at this map here, we have Reedley right here, and this is just dead center in the middle of the city where I did this one. We did a 3 mile radius around it, and we did a 5 mile radius around it. We have 26,000 and change within the city of Reedley, right? Dinuba, roughly around 32,000-33,000 at last count, I believe. And then aside from that, we touch a little bit of Parlier there. Don't get far enough into Sanger. Don't really reach all the way into Kingsburg. So if you take all of that into account right there, 26,000, maybe 15 to 20 out of Dinuba, you can see how short we would fall of that 125,000, right?
How far out would that have to?
In order to hit 125,000, we would probably have to take that out, I would say, into a 15-mile radius.
To another target's severe.
Yeah, exactly. So in all honesty, why don't we have a Target yet? We're not meeting their criteria just yet. Over time, will we? I believe absolutely we will. It might not be the population one. I've been in areas before where it's apparent that there's not 125,000 people there, but the median income is typically significantly higher.
Or there's a highway.
That's right. Huge. That is a very, very big thing, because if your traffic numbers show that you have this gigantic number of daily trips that are passing the site, they will actually counterbalance that for the population, because they will then say, yeah, you may only have, you know, 50,000 people in your community, but you have 275,000 trips that are adjacent to this site right here. So in their mind, that's artificial population, right? They may not live in that community, but they're driving right by their store site, right? So being off the beaten path obviously has its benefits for the feeling, the aesthetics, even the safety of your community, but it also has some of the challenges that come along with economic development as well.
Their business models are changing a lot as well too, because of econ and
internet sales. Yeah, really threw a lot of that stuff kind of on its ear.
And I think that's why you don't see a lot of the catalog centers that we used to have. Like at one time we had a Sears catalog center here where you could go out and order from the catalog.
Yep.
And it was pretty active for a while, but
there was Montgomery Ward's too.
That's right. Ward's. Yep. Now it's all online, right?
Yeah.
Amazon.
You go to Amazon, that's right. Yeah. I'll go through these ones fairly quick because they're similar, but some other examples that are relevant for us. So Ross, right? Unfortunately, we just lost Factory to you, so that's the reason why I wanted to utilize Ross as an example here, because Ross is a clothing store. Their minimum, 75,000 population within a 3 mile. So we're getting a little closer, but still just a bit off. Minimum 28,000 square foot building. Also needs to be part of a retail center. And all of the examples that I'm using as well, they all now prefer to own their building. Mm-hmm. It's only in some pretty rare circumstances will they actually say, we're okay with leasing. And you'll typically only see that in the very, very urban areas where ownership for them is actually much more of a liability than leasing a center, or the cost to build something new as compared to just leasing it does not pencil out for anybody. But certainly in the areas in the Central Valley, you're going to see all of these businesses are going to see their business model now for these large centers like this is to own. WoodSpring Suites, again, getting a little bit closer here, right? Minimum 50,000 population within a 5 mile area. So we're actually getting pretty dang close to that one. Close enough, actually, that we've gotten WoodSpring Suites to listen to us. And as we have talked to them and Marriott, some other service providers, they're just asked us some more specific questions about, do you have a hotel study? And this is something that we've worked hard to prepare over the last year. And we're just finalizing that one right now and getting ready to have additional conversations with these guys. We're now getting close enough with some of these businesses to be able to hopefully lock up these deals. And again, the property owners that are willing to be able to work with them as well. Their location criteria, they want something central to the businesses and it needs to be along a major community thoroughfare. They want a minimum of 40,000 vehicles per day. And that sounds like a lot, but if you actually go out and count the cars, it's crazy if all of a sudden you realize like, wow, on a local residential street, I may have actually hit, you know, 1,500 daily trips a day. And you don't see that when you're just standing there. But if you go over a 24-hour period, there's some areas where that's, even residential areas, where that is not unheard of. So,
like the bridge count, that was a big shocker the first time I heard.
I think when a lot of people see that, that immediately gives them a safety concern. But it's just the realities of the way that they count it. And it's, I think it's always a lot bigger than what you think it's actually going to be.
You know, it's amazing how many times I drive by Burgess Hotel and see no vacancy sign up there.
All the time.
It's great.
It is. That is an excellent thing. One of the areas that has been a major focus for us on the economic development side between the city manager and myself, Ellen, is landing a hotel because we actually have several businesses or agencies here that could utilize rooms every single night. Adventist Health is a great example of that. They fly right now. They have to rent several homes in town that they'll have doctors come in as they're bringing in a heart specialist or a chiropractic specialist or something that's going to be here for 25, 30 days, right? They rent two or three homes, and they'll put these guys in the homes just on a rotating basis. They would much rather have them in a hotel, and believe it or not, the doctors actually stated that they would rather be in a hotel as opposed to a home. So that we can see, like you said, Commissioner Conrad, with Hotel Burgess, that it's full all the time, and that's a boutique hotel. So can you imagine if you had a well-known, large-name hotel, the exposure that it ends up getting on like an Expedia, Travelocity, those type of items? I mean, we know we need it. This summer, Nicole and I will both be attending the largest retail conference in the Northern Hemisphere, in North America that they hold. It is called Recon, and it's done through the International Council of Shopping Centers. So we will be attending that item with our hotel study in hand, with appointments already made with two of the largest hotel chains in the nation, and plans, of course, to outreach with everybody else there. We're really excited about that.
The one in Chicago?
This one's actually in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah. Oh. ICSC does stuff all over, but the largest one that they do.
I know. What a burden.
Yeah.
To go to Vegas in the summer.
And as a Raider fan, it's going to be tough to have to see that stadium. Yeah.
I want pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'll show for us. Is that fair? But no, in all honesty, looking at this one right here, we're getting close enough to that 50,000 range. One of the major properties that we're looking at is the UHC, where UHC is building. UHC purchased just over 19 acres total, the area that annexed in, right?
What did you say?
UHC, United Health Centers.
Oh, okay.
Corner of Manning and Buttonwillow.
Yeah.
So they're only building on just a little over 3 acres of that for their facility, but they own the 16 plus remainder. So from day one, we've been working with them. It's commercially designated, and everybody that we're talking to, we have a willing property owner, someone obviously that's going to be supportive for their facility, right? And so we're talking to hoteliers, to other commercial developers, and trying to drum up the interest to go right there because we know that it's going to end up being a prime location. A spot like that ends up meeting this type of criteria. So then when you're sitting down with a hotelier and you're trying to recruit someone to come into your community, and you can say, we may not hit 50,000 dead on, but look how close we are. We exceed your ADT. You're right on a centrally located commercial corridor. You have a willing property owner. These are the support services that you have around. All of a sudden, they're much more willing to listen. And we have a hotel study to show that you would be sold out almost every single night, right? So we have all of these things in place now, and we're doing all the outreach before that. I think in the past just had not been, hadn't really been addressed in as aggressive a manner as we're trying to work on it now with economic development. Okay, all retail commercial uses result in the same amount of taxation for the community. Again, another very, very common myth that you end up getting. And the best example I think that we ever get to hear about there is, how many burgers do you need to flip in order to bring in $1 for the city, right? And here is, believe it or not, on average the city receives only between 1 and 4 cents of every total retail tax dollar that is collected by the state and county. So just to make sure, when I say $1, I don't mean $1 spent. I mean a total dollar of taxation. So in $1 of actual tax dollars received, the city only gets between 1 and 4 cents of that.
So if 10 cents goes off to for taxes to some agency, we only get
a fraction of
1% of that.
Yeah, a fraction of a penny. Yep. Mm-hmm. So obviously economic activity is extremely important. It takes money to support any community and to provide the services. I always want to be very mindful about the fact that it's not about the tax dollars and the revenue, right? It's the government is not a business. Government is here to provide services, but it takes money to provide services, of course, and to maintain good services. And the better we can make sure that we are utilizing those dollars and providing those services and that maintenance, the better your overall community ends up being, right? You want to always keep that bar as high as possible. You want the quality of life in every community that you're in to be as high as possible because it supports property values, it supports growth, it supports sustainability, all of these items, right? So, but again, a huge item I don't think a lot of people really know. You know when you go buy something that like, oh my gosh, 15% in taxes or whatever, but how much of that actually comes back to your local community? Just a very small fraction of it. The majority of it goes to the state, and the county takes a pretty good chunk of that as well. Why would hotels be something that we are trying to focus on? Two reasons. One, they're needed. We're very, very deficient in those services and being able to provide those services. Number two, hotels also employ something in the state of California called a transit-oriented tax. We will end up making much more money on someone that comes into the city to stay in a hotel, revenue, taxation revenue, than you would on just any standard commercial type of activity, because not only will you have that transit-oriented tax and the taxation that they're paying on the room that they'll already be occupying, but more often than not, they also go out into your community and engage in additional economic activity, right? So from various angles, hotels are really, really strong partners to have. They're very good partners. And Reedley, for a long time, has just kind of flown under the radar there. But we get calls on a weekly basis into City Hall, people that are traveling to Kings Canyon National Park, Sequoia, or people that are coming in for business, sometimes even just to visit family and don't want to burden family and stay, and they want to know, do you guys have any hotels there? And we've had to say up to this point, just the locals, right? We don't have any of the national brands that people are familiar with and oftentimes much more comfortable with, right? We always, of course, will try to direct them to the locals because they're here, they're part of our community, and we always want to support that. But to be able to have some more of those larger names there is obviously an important thing. Okay, myth number four, economic development is completely driven by the free market. Does that mean that, like, communities can't do anything to encourage community development? We've seen some examples in our own community where we know that that's not true, where we actually had businesses that were trying to come in and they were turned away, right? And we've talked about that before. And just the opposite as well. Does that mean that communities are completely helpless to do anything to recruit businesses? Absolutely not. The free market plays a major part in it. But the public agency and the citizens also play a very vital part as well. So what can you do? Most importantly, network with those property owners. Make sure that there's good communication, that there's collective understanding. That's the reason why even those property owners that for years have said no when the city is trying to work with them and interested, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop knocking on their door and trying to make sure that we have good relationships and good communication with those people in the hopes that when they're ready, that there will be something there that can be a betterment for the community. Also, engage with your business owners, your managers, to foster support for business activity. One of the main drivers behind the business survey that we wanted to assist the chamber and the EDC in getting done, because we wanted to know what's the feedback. Is it where are we succeeding for you? Where are we failing for you? Right? Let's make sure that we maintain the things that are good support for you, and let's address the things that we need to fix. Right? If we're not, my dad would always say to me when I was growing up that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. I'm not going to get our feelings hurt by learning about the things that we're not doing right. We can only fix them if we know about it. And then support academic programs that foster a strong workforce and embrace emerging technologies. Reedley does a phenomenal job at that. And no pun intended, again, flying under the radar there. A great example would be we have right now two all-electric airplanes that are the only two airplanes allowed by the FAA in the entire airspace of the Western Hemisphere, right? We brought those into the city of Reedley, brand new technology. We're already lined up with Reedley College to be able to deal with all of the aviation programs, not only to do the pilot programs that would go with it, but all the mechanics side that goes along with that as well, which is not being done yet. It's so groundbreaking. We've had multiple visits from Boeing, who wants to partner with the city on making sure that are tied into this. How cool is that? Yeah. I mean, how many communities can say that they have someone like Boeing call them and say, hey, we want to meet, especially a community the size of 26,000, right? Now, the majority of the community they won't ever see that, right? They definitely haven't seen it up to this point. But there's always activity going on, and we're always working very hard to make sure that we're pushing that. We've got great academic institutions here. We've got Emmanuel pulls people from all over the country, even international, right? Kings Canyon Unified, I've heard many people actually say that they're leaving Clovis Unified to come to Kings Canyon Unified. I'm tempted to do that with my own kids at a Clovis Unified, to be honest. And Reedley College, which...
Very unique.
I love Reedley College. Until I actually came to Reedley, I had never heard of Reedley College. I didn't grow up here, right, which is, I'm sure, part of that. But after I had come to Reedley and loved the community, everywhere I went, you will find the most unique connections that people have because of Reedley College. And it just amazes me, particularly in the planning world. We get to see them all the time. The executive director of Fresno LAFCO met his wife at Reedley College, right? So that's always good for us. We can push on them a little when we're dealing with annexation. Mm-hmm. Now, if Reedley didn't exist, you wouldn't have met your wife. We just want to remind you. But no, obviously some great supports here for that, and definitely a strong workforce. Reedley Middle College High School, another great example of trying to make sure that people are prepared to be able to take on good jobs, right? So just some really good things that the community as a whole is doing here. And, of course, for us to maintain that supportive infrastructure for businesses. And that goes everywhere from when we say infrastructure to talking about the actual stuff that's in the ground, the pipes, water, sewer, storm, all of that, all the way up to just having a very open, vibrant business community and a feel. If people come walking in the front door of City Hall and they don't feel as though they are a priority in that moment, we're not doing something right. And so we're working really, really hard to make sure when those doors open that people feel I'm in a place where I'm going to be taken care of and cared about.
And talking about the future, Reedley has to do something about infrastructure across the bridge.
Yes.
Because that property is wide open.
Yep.
And we failed to go there because of the infrastructure.
Yep. So we do that. That is right now, I would say, actually the secondary concern that we have. That for the longest time, the growth there was the infrastructure across the river area. You can't bore underneath the river, and the cost to be able to take anything, of course, across the bridge is considerable. When we had the Consolidated Irrigation District, the CID lawsuit, part of the settlement agreement was that we would not develop anything on that side of the river with for a certain time period. Now, with the infrastructure challenges that we have there right now, it's cost prohibitive right now anyhow. But you'll note that the real reason why you aren't seeing anything on that side of the river right now is because that's part of a settlement agreement. So.
Yeah, I remember reading the letter.
Yep, that was part of it. And again, like I had said, really just be business friendly. That's something we want to concentrate on all the time. Okay, and then the last myth we're going to touch on, that no new businesses ever come to Reedley, nothing's been here, nothing's coming here. Here's some that I wanted to highlight for you guys. Turbo Spas, major spa manufacturer, was located in Southern California, recently picked up all of their operations and came to Reedley. Now, one of the interesting items that not a whole lot of people really knew was why they elected to leave that area of Southern California and why they picked Reedley specifically to come to, right? It's a very interesting story. The community that they were in decided, with a lot of the passage of the state items and some changes in the way that they were viewing cannabis and cannabis sales, they wanted to go in the direction where they wanted to take advantage of some of that, what they saw as economic development opportunity. Those business owners were not interested in that and felt that that could be damaging for their family and for even their product and their business ultimately, right? So they started looking at communities that, in their mind, felt the same way about that and wanted to be on the conservative side about that. So they, of course, did some outreach, started looking at the communities that had said, we get what the state law is, but we would like to keep the regulations as tight and prohibitive as possible. Reedley is basically the cutting edge of that item. We addressed that almost immediately. Ellen and Chief Garza together took care of that. One more thing that Ellen just did absolutely amazing. And they took a look and started saying, okay, that's where we want to be, right? The type of jobs that they're going to bring in, they're going to range anywhere from 10 to, potentially as they grow, up to 15, 20 jobs. And these are engineering level type of jobs. So we're talking, $60,000 plus a year. It's great jobs. That's one of those items that, are people going to go buy food at Turbo Spas? Are they going to drive past it? It's in the industrial area, so they're going to drive past it a lot and really notice what it is? No, but that's a major impact to the city, right? But something that they're likely not even going to really notice and see. But something like United Health Centers, that is something that will end up being very visible, not only because of its location, but because of the population that it's going to provide and how many people will be coming in and out of that all the time. Department of Motor Vehicles, of course. We have the location down on Dinuba Avenue right now in Reedley. And it was announced a little over a year or so ago that they were looking to relocate and potentially even leave the city of Reedley. So we did everything we could to try to encourage them to stay. They did purchase land now, and they are staying right here in Reedley. So they will actually be remaining on Dinuba. They're going to be over across from the sports park on Dinuba Avenue. So obviously a good thing. Another item that a lot of people, you wouldn't traditionally think that that's economic development, but it absolutely is, because it brings foot traffic, right? It brings people in into the community.
I'm sorry, Ron. Rob, I missed that. Were you talking about Department of Motor Vehicles moving?
Yes, they had announced a while ago that they were considering changing locations. Or I shouldn't say considering. They wanted to change locations, and they knew they were. And there was the potential that if they couldn't find something here in Reedley, of course, that they would look elsewhere. And so we worked really hard to make sure that was not going to be the case, which can be challenging with a state agency, right? But they are going to remain here, so obviously that's a very good
thing. So where
are
they going?
They're going to stay on Dinuba Avenue, but they're going to be on the east side of the city, just north of the sports park area.
Next to
the Oaks. Correct.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay. All right.
And we won't see that one for a couple of years, of course. Long process that the state has to go through, but they've acquired the property and have announced that that's where they're going to be. But again, the public likely won't see that for a while. Mama's Cafe that came into the old Coffee and Candy building in the downtown area, right? If you haven't stopped by and tried the various items that they have there, it's great. They've done some great things inside the building. That is a locally owned item, so obviously something we were really excited to see. Kebab City, we had tonight, right? Awesome. We were so glad to get them. Adventist Health, that's one item that, a lot of people know, okay, what used to be Reedley Hospital is now owned by Adventist, right? But a lot of people didn't know they have 5 campuses in the city of Reedley. They have 5 different service locations in the city, and a lot of people don't really know that. And would they even look at that as economic development, as commercial type of activity, right? Maybe not. They would look at that as a medical provider. But again, absolutely economic activity, without a doubt. And can't release their name just yet because we just learned yesterday that a major food processor, international food processor, is moving one of their major facilities in here into Reedley, and they want to move very, very quickly. So we're hopeful that we'll actually see them up and operating within a year's time is the hope that we're going to get.
Did they find the location?
They did.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that means more jobs.
That's exactly what that means.
And those are great jobs too.
Yes, they are great anticipating job. Between in the slow season 25 up to 50, and all of their jobs starting at a minimum of 50,000 is what they're anticipating. So again, something that a lot of people wouldn't really notice. Another major employer that we have in town is Thiele Technologies. A lot of people don't know what they are, what they do, and they don't know how many people they actually employ and how many people they bring in from out of town on a very regular basis, right? They were one of the first companies to really come to the city and say, we need a hotel. We're having to deal with putting people up in Clovis and Fresno and driving them in and out every single day. That's not convenient for anybody, and we're all losing out on this, right? So, and then, of course, Reedley College, as I talked about before, really hidden gem.
Rob, yeah. We need to get with Thiele Technology because they have actually changed their name.
They did, yeah. I still refer to it as Thiele Technology. My apologies.
Okay. Still call it.
Yeah, and that did happen several months ago.
Yes.
Showing my age, I'm sorry.
Well, what's the new name?
Hell, I can't figure it out. I
don't remember.
I don't remember.
Do you remember, Alan?
That's okay. I still call it Saltwasser.
I think it's BW Systems.
They got a funny name. And,
BW Systems, yeah, okay.
Some letters.
I got an email from some of the guys there, and I could never figure it out. I never remember, and I don't care. I always call it Thiele.
It doesn't stick in my mind for some reason. I do have a problem with once I know a name on something, I will continue to call it that. I can't really help. I think the worst example in my life, my younger son, who is now 11 years old and in fifth grade, playing baseball and everything, when he was a little kid, just some loving term of endearment, my wife and I would just refer to him as Poopy Pants. I don't know why, right? So sometimes I'll pick him up at school and, hey, Poopy Pants. And then you can see all his friends like so my apologies. Sometimes I can have a hard time getting a new name.
Term of endearment.
I have no, to this day, we don't know. If when we say it in public, we actually find ourselves like, where did that come from?
Yeah,
we gotta stop that.
Wow.
Yeah. Poor kid. Yeah, he's going to have a lot of problems because of me, isn't that?
And I want to brag on Reedley College for a little bit because their agricultural school is number one.
Yes.
And now they have an enology program also, and they're producing their wines, and they also produce olive oil. And you can buy it at the...
Right there at their store?
Yes.
Yep. Reedley College...
The bookstore?
Well, you can buy it from the ag department.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the ag department.
Yeah, they have... There is so much more going on at Reedley College, I think, than the majority of people really know.
The cat program.
That place is awesome.
Caterpillar, and yes.
It is awesome. And then a number that a lot of people, I think, really surprises them, we have almost, it's just under 700 active business licenses in town.
Wow.
Right? So that's, I think that's a great number for our community. So that's definitely, when finance even sent that one to me, that was a couple hundred higher than I thought I was going to see. And those are active business licenses. If you even take a look at the ones that came in and maybe ceased operations within a certain amount of time, it almost doubles. So, but 700 active businesses within the community. So that just kind of gives us the overall snapshot on economic development in the city. It is a priority for us. It can be extremely challenging, we'll be honest, with a small staff, to really be able to have a lot of the time and effort that you'd love to be able to put into it, because it alone can absolutely be a full-time job. But we need to always make sure that we're being responsive to the people that are coming in for the various applications and everything here in the city. So it can be challenging, but you have a city council, a city manager, and staff underneath that city manager that truly believe in this community and absolutely love it here. And do everything that we can to not only be the real cheerleader for the community, but work very hard to try to recruit and retain businesses into our area. But there's so many moving pieces all the time. All that said, if you guys ever have any ideas, questions, concerns, anything on the economic development side, know that we're here to answer those things, to follow up, to get you guys answers, or if you even have connections that you want to pass along to us and say, you know what, I was talking to this person, I think this might work well. we're always open to networking and trying to do everything that we can to really introduce the community of Reedley to people, because it is a great place. We're all here for a reason, right? So with that, Chairman, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thank you very much.
If you guys have any other questions or anything.
Well done. I have a couple of follow-up questions, not so much. Well, it's part of that. The Mexican restaurant, if you remember right, that was going to go in that pocket across or right behind or whatever from Papa Murphy. Where do we stand with that?
That's the North Columbia. We kind of call it the North Columbia Bar and Restaurant, and the property owner is Hector's Bar and Grill. We've kind of been calling it that as well. He is currently working on building permit plans, so there has been some back and forth with that property on the building permits and figuring out the infrastructure and the alley reconstruction. He's had to coordinate with our engineering department and public works to make sure that is straightening out. So it is taking a while, but he is still working on it.
I remember the parking was going to be an issue there too. We needed to look at that.
There is a small parking lot there, and they do have about 15 spaces there, and the parking does kind of self-regulate how many people can actually be there, because our parking requirement is based on how many seats are in the restaurant. So if, you know, he can't add more seats because of the amount of parking, so that does kind of help with that. But parking will be interesting for that one. You know, there is street parking, but I know a lot of the folks from in the medical office next door, I think they might park on the street on Columbia as well. So yeah, that's something that we'll have to look at,
yeah.
and are looking at it.
Thank you, Alan. And then also, we had a little trouble with this one here, but that stereo shop, is that still in business?
Yes,
I believe
it
is. Yeah.
They are still in business. They actually went through a conditional use permit process and had some specific items that they needed to be more aware of as far as being respectful of the neighbors and the neighborhood and everything where they were. They went through that entire process, received unanimous support for the conditional use permit, and we have not received any additional complaints or concerns since then. I think every once in a while someone will say, I mean, it's a stereo shop, so you'll hear music sometimes, right? But for the most part, the real concerns that were happening with the adjacent neighborhood were taken care of through that CUP process.
Okay. Future agenda items.
Oh, I think we have the director's report first.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Okay,
thank
so
you.
Wow, more Rob, huh?
I know. Sorry, guys.
I'm just throwing it back to you, Rob.
I'll make it quick.
This is the Rob show.
I'll touch on the underground utility district. We are going to have some good conversations with the city council in the near future about a direction that they either do or do not want us to go in that has to do with undergrounding utilities. And the reason why this matters is over the last couple of years, we've worked really hard and brought several items here to the Planning Commission to talk about the challenges of infill development, right?
Right.
That's where expanding the development impact fee reduction program came from. You've got 50% in the city core reduction, 25% in any area that would qualify as infill within the incorporated city limits. That was to lower some of those fees for the developers as development costs have just continued to skyrocket. We're trying to do everything we can on our side to still make development plausible and attractive within the city of Reedley. We had done that. We had also talked about the required connection requirements. If you guys remember, we had there a 3-year timeline that said that if you annexed into the city, you had to connect to city systems.
Right.
And we could never figure out why. Why was there a 3-year item on that? Shouldn't that be tied to something specific like a health and safety concern, right? So we went through all that and did that same thing. And that was, again, to try to make sure that annexation of properties was going to be more appropriate, less scary for the people that are annexing in, easier for the development community to work with, really just to kind of clean up those items and make sure that the policies made sense with what you wanted. One of the other huge challenges that you have with infill development is the undergrounding of existing overhead lines. It can be extremely expensive. Oftentimes, even more expensive than putting sewer and water infrastructure in the ground, depending on what type of transmission line might be there, right? Because you're dealing with PG&E, the city, you're dealing with whoever might also be on that pole, and anything has to be relocated. I mean, it can be an absolute mess. So we were going to take that item to city council because that's more aesthetics than anything else. So before we came to the Planning Commission and really said, hey, let's dig into some of the details of what the policy is and what we think it could be and what are some of the potential changes, because of just the political nature associated with aesthetics, we wanted to go to the City Council first and say, staff is considering these type of discussions, but we want to know if the City Council wants us to even undertake that. And based upon that feedback, we then will or will not come back to the Planning Commission and say, okay, let's look into these details. It's a little different than how we've done things in the past. The reason why we elected to do that, in all honesty, was because we didn't want to waste the Planning Commission's time on talking a lot about undergrounding of utilities and all of this type of stuff. If council was just going to say, we're not interested, everybody needs to underground their stuff and that's it, right? Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to make sure that we had their good direction on that first. So we'll follow up with you guys in the coming month or months as we've taken that item to council. It's set to go in April, just for their direction. Rancho Vista was approved, the one that you guys had recommended for approval at the last meeting. It was approved by the City Council. The several community members that had showed up to have some comments at the Planning Commission there, we addressed the majority of their items. Well, every single item that was discussed at the Planning Commission was addressed by us to the council and by the developer, and changes were made to the project to incorporate those items. So there is now a connection point, street connection point, that will be stubbed out at the north end of the property. So for future development, we'll be able to immediately tie into that one. There is pedestrian access that will go to the future trail on the east side of the project. And the developer is going to actually do all of the improvements that should have been done by the previous development just to the south border of theirs, with the trailway that goes all along the south border.
That's great.
So some great things. The developer was extremely gracious in taking on those additional items, especially that late in the game. But I thought it was really important for the Planning Commission to know that all of the comments brought forward by the public at that time were taken into account and were directly addressed. They did have a couple more comments that they brought up the day of City Council, some additional items that they wanted to see, and those items were actually not incorporated again, because of the timing of the issue and because of they wanted to some adjustment in a street alignment, and we actually had safety concerns about the engineering of that. We had, the alignments were at a place strategically to try to keep people from keeping their foot on the gas pedal.
Right. Yeah.
And the feeling was if we had moved that alignment, that it really opened up that long shot more, and there was more of the concern that increased speed would end up being the result. Some of the neighbors right on Duff Avenue did actually sign a petition in the days after the council meeting that they handed in, that they wanted the City Council to reconsider that. There is no legal avenue for the council to do that. The decision that they make at that time is final, but obviously that petition was still forwarded to the council members so that they could know that for future reference and or discussions as may be appropriate. But there isn't any type of appeal process that they would go through. Nothing would come back to the Planning Commission or that would go back to the City Council, because the City Council had already voted on the item.
Was there any agreement between the two property owners, like Mr. Rogalski and the one that's further north?
Mr. Baldwin.
About mm-hmm. Being bought out by the developer?
You mean the properties houses, to the north? Yeah.
No, the properties that are will be in that, but not part of it.
Yeah, the two existing homes on Button okay. Willow. Yeah, we haven't heard anything.
Yeah, there wasn't actually.
Okay.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't typically get engaged in those unless there is concern about the annexation activity. Then we want to make sure that they understand what the annexation, does or does not mean. But when it comes to a property transaction between a potential developer and a property owner, we only become engaged if we're requested to become engaged.
Because that will add, if they sell to them, that adds more homes in there.
Yeah, they had designed to
maybe
build around
only two homes, yeah. But that's still two
true.
More homes.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
They had no interest in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
Yeah, in the initial part of the process, we did, when we first looked at that tentative map, that of course was our question, was there communication with the property owners? The feedback that we were given was that there's no interest in selling. But then at the Planning Commission, one of the property owners said that they
would. Yeah, Mr. Rogalski said, and then when he was leaving, the developer went running after it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did not have any direct follow-up with the developer about that one. Again, like I said, when it comes to the private property transactions, we will typically keep at arm's distance unless requested for some type of city service-related item, out of respect for that process. Had some pictures here that we wanted to show. There will be an item that is on, and this is two-sided here. So the top side right here is a conceptual design. The bottom one is a conceptual placement of a mural that is being proposed. This would be several community organizations coming together through donations that would pay the artist to be able to place this mural there. One of the biggest reasons why the city was really in support of this item was because statistically it has been shown that mural placement actually deters graffiti. And so working with PD and with the local business community, we had identified some areas that we thought would work really well. And this one on the Bank of America building really is the gateway into the downtown from the North G Street area. We thought would be a great location. The property owners had expressed in the past that they would be open to that, to considering that. So on the upcoming council agenda, they are looking for a budget amendment to allow for the allocation of dollars to do that, because everything would, even though it's donation, the city, of course, is donating some of it as well, right? So a budget allocation to do that. For the approval to enter into an agreement with the artist to actually do the work and to receive payment. And then conceptual approval on the design from the city council. If the city council is comfortable moving forward with all of those items, the design will then be finalized, and then the design itself as the final piece would be returned to the council to make sure they know exactly what the item is going to look like. But that's the conceptual design.
So this one right here is, we were thinking about placing
Correct.
It right here, right?
Yep.
Okay. Not this one right here.
Right. You'll notice that one. So this is actually a picture of, I believe, an older bumper sticker.
A label. I think it was a label on a food.
It was.
What do they call those fruit baskets? Those boxes?
The boxes.
Yeah.
But that was what they used really as the...
The template.
For what they wanted to do. You'll see they removed the state and right. where Reedley is in the middle. Again, that's the conceptual item they would be looking for there. So if you guys saw that one on the council agenda, we wanted to make sure you guys knew what it was. Is
Leal doing this or somebody else?
Actually, Lori Scholin is. She's out of Squaw Valley. And she's done a couple of murals on KCUSD schools that have looked really good. There's she painted a whole solar system along a hall. So she has the experience of painting things at a large scale, large. Which is really great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. The murals that were on the Royal Valley building, what happened to those?
So they were removed, and extremely carefully. We're going to do everything we can to try to make sure that they are restored. They were very fragile, some of them extremely fragile just because of what they were painted on. But we are looking for business owners along the rail trail that will allow us to have placement there, similar to what you saw in Master Storage. Was that Master Storage?
It's Lock and Leave Self-Storage,
and leave.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, on the rail to trail.
The artist work that was done there. So we'll be looking for something similar also along the parkway to place those as well. But there was a couple of them that was scary bringing them down. I was watching the Public Works crews do it, and I just thought, oh, my goodness, almost put on some white gloves and curate it. It was a little nerve-wracking. All right, and then this is my last thing.
What?
You guys won't have to hear from me anymore, okay? For her service, we had a thank you card that we were asking the commissioners to sign and that we were then going to send to Dawn, as she's recently needed to step away from the Planning Commission due to family demands. But we wanted to make sure that she received thank you from the group and consideration for her years of service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so before you leave, if you could sign that for us, we'll all have it ready for you at the end.
Okay. Very good.
That's it.
Thank you.
Quick question.
Yep.
So this mural, is there a plan or a consideration of doing one on the other locations? I mean, this is, I know we talked about, it's basically right here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming in from the north. What about south? Anywhere?
This is just the first one that they've identified and are considering moving on. I think they want to see How is the process working? How is it received? And if so, there's other areas in town that have been identified that we'd like to do the same thing with.
Because talking about the DMV location, that's where the welcome to Reedley sign is and things of that nature. So, you know, I always thought that was a curious place, but you know, that was probably there for a reason long, long time ago. So,
yep. That's a good point.
Any, with them moving, would that be considered that intersection to be reconstructed or redesigned?
Yeah, there has been discussion about that, and the city engineer has, I mean, it's very, very preliminary right now.
I almost got hit a couple times there.
There's a lot of, you were hit there? Like,
no, I said almost. Oh, you know, it's like, wait, who's doing what?
Yeah, there's a lot of safety concerns. You know, in all honesty, I think you have several staff members that think that would be another area that would actually, where a roundabout would actually work quite well.
Perfect.
And I think that our city engineer feels that same way, but at the project list right now of other items that are already planned and programmed is pretty big. But that safety-wise, that one's talked about on a pretty regular basis.
Okay.
Well, it's a good opportunity for us to start marketing that area, too.
Yeah, and the city actually owns the
property.
Little triangle area that's right next to the DMV.
Right.
Yeah, so.
You know, with murals, I know a lot of people that take a trip to Exeter to see all their murals.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings in economic money to
absolutely.
The city. So.
Yeah. Well, and the murals downtown Fresno, the ones that they've done, are really excellent.
Oh,
and
awesome.
They become, you know, picture, you know, ops.
Yeah, they do.
So it's really interesting how these old buildings, and then all of a sudden they have murals, and it's become a popular thing. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that would be the hope.
Yeah,
And also we thought, you know, if some organizations got together and did a couple of these and they were very well received, it would not be surprising if you had some private property owners that were interested in doing some on their own buildings.
Right.
So, which I think you've seen that a lot in downtown Fresno
right
now, as you've had, I can't believe I'm spacing their name, the tech company that.
Oh, Bitwise?
Yes, Bitwise.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right.
With the exterior designs of what they've done with their buildings, which is basically like a gigantic mural on the whole building.
Right. No, it makes sense because like the one mural that I forgot where it's at, but well. Anyway, it used to be, because I worked downtown, it used to be graffiti a lot. Now it's not, because there's a huge mural there, and it's really cool to see that there's less and less. So if that graffiti, so if that's the purpose of this, hopefully that does help.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, because we do have, there's some areas that we see a lot of graffiti here, so.
Yep.
Awesome.
So we'll see. We'll keep you guys updated on that, though, as it rolls forward.
Very good. Thank you very, very much. Last chance for any questions or concerns that you want to address staff with?
Nope.
Future agenda?
For future agenda items, we don't foresee any meetings for April at this time. The public noticing period is pretty much passed for that. Just today I did get a conditional use permit amendment application for an existing business, and then we are processing a smaller tentative map, kind of an infill project in Reedley on Frankwood Avenue, kind of between the existing city limits and that and the subdivision north of Aspen, I guess it would be, that's owned by Lee Fino. I think it's a trustee at this point, but we are processing that. So the earliest we anticipate a meeting is May. It's possible May 2nd might be one, but very likely May 16th. So at this time, we don't see anything in April.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if there is no further business, this meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you guys
very much
for dinner.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
Thank you for your extended time here tonight. I know it was a very long meeting. Appreciate it.
Sure.